It would probably be fair to say that most people know in our culture that 2,000 years ago Jesus was nailed to a cross. It stands as one of the most well-known events in history, but familiarity with that story can dilute our appreciation for it. Crucifixion was absolutely horrendous. The Romans were brutal when they wanted to be, but even they eventually banned it because they thought it was too brutal. Before Jesus even got to the cross, the soldiers flogged him with a whip of braided leather thongs with metal balls and bits of bone woven into them. In a flogging, often the back would be so shredded that parts of the spine were exposed by the cuts. The whipping would have gone all the way from the shoulders down the back to the back of the legs. A 3rd century historian called Eusebius described a flogging by saying, "The sufferer's veins were laid bare and the very muscle, sinews and bowels of the victim were often open to exposure." Many people would have died from that even before they could be crucified. But Jesus did not. He still went to the cross. At the cross, the Romans then drove tapered spikes through his wrists, attaching him to a horizontal beam. The nail would go through the place where the median nerve runs, the main nerve from the hand, and his arms would have been stretched 6 inches and his shoulders dislocated. It was not over quickly. It was designed to draw out death. Jesus would have died an agonizing, slow death by asphyxiation. Along with the physical pain, there was the mockery. And the way that it happens is sort of a pattern of how people have mocked Jesus since. They question his claims. "He said he was the king of the Jews." In other words, he was the person the whole Old Testament story was building up to. Someone who's going to rescue his people. And now look at him. They put a crown, not of gold, but of thorns on his head. They question his identity. "If you were really the Son of God, you wouldn't suffer this." They question his trust in God. "If God were really with you, this wouldn't happen to you, would it?" Jesus allows all of this to happen to him. The crucifixion was, of course, unbelievably physically painful, unimaginably awful. The treatment from other people was awful too. The sense of being rejected, abandoned, mistreated, having done nothing wrong. But it wasn't the worst thing. As the Son of God, Jesus had been in close relationship with his Father for eternity past, a relationship that could not possibly be closer. On the cross, that relationship between Son and Father is physically torn apart, but he's also psychologically torn apart. Jesus experiences utter and complete loneliness and abandonment in a way that nobody else ever could or has. In the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark and Luke, the narrative for a moment, and one moment only, moves away from the cross on the outskirts of Jerusalem. In Jewish worship, the temple was the centre, the place where you would go to connect with God. But God was so big, so great, so up there, and everybody else was so down here, you couldn't really access him. And in the middle of the temple, there's one special area where the top priest could go once a year. And it was this symbolic thing. This is how limited human access to God was. And this area was covered by a curtain. And when I say a curtain, it wasn't like a curtain in your living room. It was 30 feet high, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. And the moment Jesus dies, something is completed. Something is done, and it's this odd thing, but the curtain in the temple tears in two. Nobody popped it and ripped it. They would not have been able to. It tears from top to bottom, and even that is significant because the tearing starts up there, not down here. The torn curtain is God saying, "It's all changed. I've done it. Sin is paid for, all of it. Anyone can access me now." That's what this moment means. So that's why Jesus did it. That's why he undergoes the worst thing anyone has ever endured. He gets broken in every sense to remove the dividing wall between humanity and God. Theologians spend a lot of time talking about why Jesus needed to die, and it's certainly a complex and multifaceted thing. But at the center of the message, right at the heart of what the cross of Jesus was all about, is this. God is not a force or a gas or a compilation of human ideas. He's a person. He's a person with creativity and power and intelligence and justice and love. And out of love, he made the world in all its great richness and beauty. He put humanity on this world so that we could enjoy a relationship with him. And within that, he gave us the freedom to choose how we live. Undeniably, we make a mess of that choice. We wage wars and we desire what other people have. And we belittle people to feel better about ourselves. And we build societies that stitch up the poor. And we're prejudiced against people who are not like us. And we're convinced that we're right in all of our opinions. But most of all, through all that and more, we each in our own way say to God, I am the centre of this, not you. It's all about me. On the cross, Jesus is God's response. We've made such a mess, we cannot possibly fix things. But because God is a person, he experiences all the feelings that he should about how we treat him. Hurt, sorrow, disappointment, anger. And he's committed to administering justice. And so the only way for God to have any sort of relationship with us is if he himself deals with the problem. So he comes to earth, incredibly, as a human. He does life the right way. He takes all of our mess, our sin, deals with it himself. It gets agonizingly nailed to him on that cross. It's the most incredible thing that God would be up there standing over the universe and yet come down here and do that for you and for me. Jesus did not just undergo the ordeal of the crucifixion. He volunteered for it. And so know this, this Easter time and every Easter time. Jesus knows mockery. He knows isolation. He knows loneliness. He knows pain. If you're experiencing those things right now, he experienced them on a whole other level to get you and me. And nobody else could have done this. Nobody else would do this for you. Nobody else did do this for you. Only him. Only Jesus. And so as we close this service in a moment, take your time. Take a moment looking at the cross or where you sit or you know whatever you want to do and think and pray about that. There's something important about the rhythm that we have each year where we mourn on Good Friday. We think it's serious. We think about why Jesus died, what he did, why he needed to. It's important that we take that time, that moment to do that. And then on Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection, the celebration, the wonderful bit. But for today, be some music playing on the background. Please feel free to stay or to leave in your own time. But let's take those solemn moments just to dwell on the amazing thing that God did for us through his Son.